But it's exactly what a guru does. He's going to play godmother, godfather, uncle, aunt, and everything, you name it, he's got it. He's crying his shoulder and everything, he's going to sit down and he's all right there. Some people call it father confessor, mother confessor, and everything. But that's the role. The role of centering emotion into devotion as an acceptance level of yourself. But you need it. If you don't need it, you're already on the way to be healthy. That means realized. Balance. When you accept the devotion road as a way to God, pure spirit, and the human form is the one that is pointing it out to you, then this is rational and very, very inspirational. There's no other more inspirational approach to God than via the human form. We can all think of God in a non-human form, but we will never generate intimacy until we learn to love another human being as ourselves. That's how we transfer from parent to husband and wife to children, to teacher, back to God, which we came from in the first place. We came out of God looking at ourselves, but we couldn't accept ourselves at that level. So we tried to reach for our parents. Born. So we were born. We're out of the womb. We were kicked out of the womb by God, in a strange way. All to find out by the doctors. Here we are. Oh, we don't know you. Imagine. What are you doing here? No, I want to be here. They pulled the doors down on me on the other side, and I can't see on the other side, so. It's like, they pull the doors down here before they bury you. They don't need you here, so you go on the other side. Here you go on the other side. There's no death without your astral parents are busy be waiting for you, the astral mother is pregnant walking in the open century. Here you're caught up in the situation. Good and fine. Enjoy the situation where you can't get back to the other side because they don't want to the other side. And now you're on this side, you don't know how to relate to your baby. You gotta grow up into the avenues of just as much as we grow up in the avenues of physical living. But we need it. That's why we need the human contact for human growth, human teaching, human understanding. So we say devotion to the guru is a shortcut. And true human being, loving the neighbor as yourself, is made for this love. It makes it bond and happiness. Therefore, it is greater than the angels, greater than the all the devas and all the big hierarchy is the guru. Greater than mother, greater than father, greater than anyone, is the guru. Why? Because he got so much patience, he's taken the role of being patient, the wet nurse maid and everything, that he's going to accept you for whatever you are and let you be at that level. So he is your Linus blanket, your spiritual Linus blanket or a spiritual teddy bear. He goes in with all your problems. Guru? All right, we work. Are you God? You tell me that. But Guru, can you show me God? Look at me. You can tell me. But you're a man. What do you think God is? But Guru, I don't see it inside of you. Now look long enough and shut your eyes, you're going to see. I see a shape in there. It looks like you. Very good, after in it. Psycho-optics. Like that? I don't want you, Guru. Tell him now, that's the radiant form of the spirit. Savitri, Lord of the universe. You're looking inside. When you tell him it's after image of mind optics, he don't grasp it right away. Because he can't cope with it. But you tell him some good thing, some other thing that has helped him to come to this point of realization, he's gonna absorb it. Then you put on what they call the frosting. You know, when you look long enough, you're going to see yourself in it. You have to see yourself in the mirror. Providing you have a mirror to look in, you'll look at and can recognize your face. Only other time you can see your face, you look at the bad number of the river, and you're looking head in some water to pure reflection. If you never saw your face, you don't know what you look like. So you'll never have an after image of yourself inside the radiant light. That's a horrible experience to have. But we all pass through that level at one time, so we know of man's real form is not an intimate experience. So we can't accept ourselves in a blank radiant form. We have to accept the teacher's form as a guide, inspiration. Then finally we accept our own faith as a radiant form lifting us up. But a funny phenomenon comes in. Conscience comes in. Conscience is this marvelous lighthouse that burns 24 hours a day, which tells you, in spite of all you think you know, you didn't get here where you think you are by yourself. So don't pride yourself that you know it all. The guy outside who just told you that you are what you think you are is the guy that's responsible for making you think this way. So you back out and you scratch your head, hey, wait a minute. So what Yogananda says, so you know, teacher, you know, master, all my life I lived with you. You never said you love me. So the teacher looked at him. I love you, so what a fake you. You see? He says, well, see, I've heard the words, I love you now. All my life you lived with the man, and then I said, I love you. But he was looking for words of consolation to reinforce his image of himself within the guru form. And the only way he could reinforce it is the idea, I love you. Does that make it better?
Yeah.
It's the energy itself that really loves the energy. So, devotion to the guru is the key, and the conscience then is satisfied. No more guilt complex, no more feeling of hopelessness, and the sense of shifting the burden of carrying the world on your back like Atlas suddenly ends up in the image form. Thou shalt have no other graven image before me. Guru form takes the, they call it, the rule now. It takes the burden off of you that you carry the world on your back. You don't want to step in the role or accept the role of God has become you, which is the actual realization. But because you want to be humble and maintain a humbleness, you shift your role and always say, I got a master, I got a guru, I'm a student. Now that master will make this statement whenever he meets another human being, brother, sister. He never says disciple. And then he says, he that do the will of the Lord is my brother and my sister. That means he who looks inside himself and sees that this energy is himself and follow the path of obedience or devotion is realized. But until we go around in circles finding it what is necessary to do, looking inside, we don't understand what we do. So the highest way back to God is via the human form, which is the personal aspect, into the impersonal aspect of yourself, and come back to the road of what is it, humility, with fear of basis. In the church, you can reflect. How many of us go into church and do that? Not that it's something bad for you to do,
but he doesn't.
But then you walk right up to the altar, and you look at it and you, you know, we have no more sense of realization, and it's not a necessary ritual or something that will degrade you. Is that the common reality is this, that God is everything, and humility is not a mere show of prostration. Humility is recognition, to recognize that this point of the building is accepted as a focal point for love, and you respect it by genuflecting or prostrating or bowing your head. Until Yogananda realized that he had a hard time too. There was a stone in the part of India where everybody would come and they would touch it to their head, you know, and bend down. And he came along and showed me that dirty stone with the head. I don't blame him. I did the same thing too. A little dirty stone who wants to put his head on it or kiss it. But the problem was this. All during that day and the next day, the thing that he was looking for, he couldn't find. the man that he went looking for, he couldn't find him. And late that night, he saw a man walking on the road. And he went up to the man and asked the man, "Are you familiar with such and such a person?" And he said, "You're nothing but a lying detective. Who you want?" Then the man told him who he was, you see. Then he took him home, but when he took him home, he said, "Tell me, where do you think God is?" He said, "God is everywhere." He said, "Well, why didn't you bow down to the stone?" You see? If you believe God is everywhere, why you refuse to bow down to the stone? He made him realize now that he was caught in his own mental perspective of what God is as a form, being somebody sitting on a throne, dispensing miracles, and saying when you discover him, after many millions of incarnations, you come up lily white, pure, and antiseptic. I work my way up there, Daddy. Here I am, pin the magic mirror to me now. He was a little back, you little worm, you. You don't know what it's all about. So he is expecting a kind of a God like that. Somebody sitting in a throne saying, "Here I am. All lily white, clean, boxed up and everything. Like a bow tie." But the teacher said this, God is everywhere. If he admits he's everywhere, then the stone is God. What we're realizing is this, that in the hypo-pressure state, which is the state you want to get down in, but you have to watch it. And then you meditate and get into these lower states of going on the body, not to be overly distressed with the sounds and the vibrations, and keep the center of focus. Now here's where the technique comes in now. There are four basic techniques, and they all relate into the brain, the blood, and the respiration, and the physical body movement. So the brain is slowed down in a safe way by repeating something. That's very scientific and very organic and very natural. That's why they call it prayer unceasingly. You should say something over and over unceasingly without stopping. So organize it to slow it down. And it's very safe. Even though you drop the pressure down and you go to a level like these where it can be very disconcerting, it will flip up back again like a relay switch and come up back normally. And you'll hold the focus. In event that once in a while you may get low blood pressure, then you can check yourself. Right here, there is an automatic switch on the left side above the heart. And if you find it sore in that notch.
In your shoulder?
Yeah. If it's sore, then you just press on it and relieve the pressure, and the soreness will go away. And then your blood pressure will be back again up normal. So this will usually happen with people who meditate a lot or tend to go into the vegetarian diet, because it does happen, and not eating correctly vegetarian, then they would have to massage that spot to keep it up. But you'll never get high blood pressure once you meditate. There is no way for that to happen. Because you can start off with high blood pressure, and the technique will slow you down. And one of the easiest techniques to slow you down is to repeat something. Now the second technique to slow you down is observation of your own breathing. Don't force yourself to breathe. Just realize that you do breathe. This is called observation of breath, or respiratory control. They call it pranayama. Most people think pranayama means breath control. Pranayama really means life control, by observation of the respiratory rate. The length of time the breath comes in, the length of time the breath goes out, on an observatory level. So to observe that is to take the left thumb, place it on the right wrist, and feel for the pulse beat. So the heart rate will synchronize now with the breath rate. These two things will act as one. That's the next technique, which is valid and very scientific, and will get the same results as the first one, which is called repeating names or mantras. The brain will slow down.
And you should, like, try and breathe in and out when you feel the pulse.
Mm-hmm. That's the synchronization between respiration and pulse vibration.
Is that 16 times a minute or something?
Yeah, 16 times a minute.
Wow.
So that you'll find after a while, then the brain and the respiration and the blood and the heart synchronize, you will be going slower, which is a hypo condition, dropping down. They'll go slower to the point where you may be only doing about 8 to the minute or 6 to the minute.
My Hare Krishna mantra has 16 syllables.
Yeah, that is to get the same vibratory rate or respiratory rate down to that level. Then they're doing it in sound now, sound alliance or sound integration. And you're doing it now with respiratory pulse and brain integration. So you're going to get that particular flow. So you're doing an access technique which will bring down high blood pressure immediately. If you've got high blood pressure, frenetic actions or mental fuzziness, you can press there and calm it down. So what would happen is this: during that period, you're going to have what is called losses of time lapse. You're going to find that the pulse seems to disappear, and there are times that you don't seem to want to breathe, and there are times that you don't want to think. You want to just phase off into a semi-sleep state. These lapses or time periods are what we call synchronization periods. And that's the period you're actually living, not existing. You're living for the first time on the pure life field that is passing through the mechanism in the electrical frequency.
In the morning, and this only happens in early morning meditation, sometimes like 20 minutes or 40 minutes will disappear.
Yes.
You don't know where it is or what.
Right, and therefore you're busy hunting for it, and you may think now something has gone wrong with your heart. And
well, it's just like you've lost it.
Yes.
But where has it gone to?
It hasn't gone any place. It hasn't gone any place. It is what has happened now. Pulse rate has become slower than brain rate. The brain rate is 12 cycles a second alpha level, and 10 cycles a second is theta level, and 6 cycles a second is delta level. Now, when the blood goes down to say about 20 to the minute, 20 is longer, but actually to slow down, not to stay in synchronization with the brain. In other words, it's appearing too slow. It ought to be like this, it's like a graph. Here we have heart going like that. And then we have lungs going like this. And then we have brain going like this. See what happening? So heart appears to disappear. 2 to 1 time for brain. And 1 time to lung. That is the normal ratio of the relationship of the graph with any person in a level of meditation. So that you come to a point, some days you'll find that you don't have no relationship to a pulse beat. And you wonder where it's gone. So you say, I'm dead. No, you're not dead. You're arriving at what is called now suspended animation. Samadhi. The yogic terminology for suspended animation. Which is conscious, sensory, motor, organic, that means lung and heart, relaxation. Turning down the volume, not turning off the volume. You're turning down the volume consciously for the first time in a hypo, not hyper, hypo. That means a slowing down rate of understanding your nature.
What happens if that happens when you're not meditating, but you're aware of everything that's going around you?
This is auto feedback. When it happens like that, it's auto feedback, and the auto feedback is normal as the means of reinforcing internal tolerances to offset shock that could hurt the mechanism that you can't handle. Sometimes you need this auto feedback. For instance, all right, when you meditate and this condition comes on in an auto shock or an auto state, the maybe you had a phone call.
Oh, and you jump.
And you jump.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden you find the whole body slows down. Because you've been practicing meditation, it is a built-in protective measure for as a safety release valve for the pressure that is the build-up under the trauma or the shock. And this will automatically release itself. And that's the proof to you. Now you say, oh, that didn't bother me, no. Years ago, man, I heard that on the phone, I was tearing my hair out. You see? But suddenly, you have what is called equanimity. You suddenly seem to be more tolerant, more in control. You seem to get turned off. Getting cold or frigid. That's not really, you can't get cold or frigid. That would be an incorrect evaluation of what has happened. Because what has happened is this. Your degree of tolerance to environmental pressure by the hypo practice has brought you to a state now where those type of shocks are no longer detrimental to the cellular mechanism. And in fact, they are an aid to the mechanism. They are making you tougher now. They are extracting from you your inner strength. So the greater the trials, the greater the person, the greater the release of more vitality from the person. So you are forced now to see, I have really progressed in my behavioral attitudes by not getting uptight as I would have done 4 years ago had I not been practicing what? Meditation. This would mean, had I not been learning to relax and bring down the mechanism to a slower rate of conductivity or behavior, I'd be uptight and burning. I'd be hot-headed. Fire off, yeah.
So what happens to people around you? Still say you're nervous. Do you know that you can say, like, 4 years ago you were really quite a bit more nervous? How come people still sense nervous?
You're nervous in body motion. You know what it is. I said there's a way in which we come back to body motion. Now you have breath, you have blood, you have brain, and you have body motion. Body motion alters. 4 years ago, your body motion was more like this. You're waiting for the imaginary streetcar to come around and the invisible wins the time. And you are playing the imaginary Fred Astaire, trying to hide the time away 4 years ago. So what has happened now, 4 years after, of self-adjustment, so you're nervous at a different rate now, as far as the time is concerned. At the other time when you were, you like if you had in your pants or you want to go to the bathroom. But now, in this slow laxidation way, and in fact, a whistle in the outdoors is like a man who kisses his wife on the sidewalk. You're not expected. So their view of nervousness now is that you shouldn't be walking around whistling. It's not a nice thing to do. You're creating a sonic pressure in the atmosphere. So the first time, you are being you. And the world is your home. And not just Planet Earth or Fifth Avenue, wherever you are supposed to be stuck out in some little community. The world is home. You have come home to the reality of now. And you've come home to the naturalness of yourself. So the idea is that you have discovered self-happiness. It's not something that is being showered on you. Nobody can give you self-happiness. Self-happiness is something you got to release. And you release this from recognizing the technique of body motion. Body motion became now the key to release self-happiness. So years ago you were like that, walking and talking and trying to catch something. And all of a sudden you were like this, now whistling away, looking at the trees, everything looks calm, the walls are not falling down, there's no earthquake coming down. So It's bliss. A better sense of perspective of where you are in terms of your environment. So if you ask, you know, you're like a yogi, you say, ah, Satchitananda. Satchitananda. When you know what the word Satchitananda means, then you know why he's like this. Satchitananda. Existence, consciousness, bliss. Existence, consciousness, bliss. That is mantra. He's existing and he's conscious and he's blissful. So he's walking around in such a blissful state that he is what you call consciously drunk. And that consciousness of drunk is what Yogananda calls divine ecstasy. You are biologically drunk from your own cellular nature, from a hypopressure level, and accept yourself where you are in the unity of things. Prior to that, you are psychologically insane. Because nothing pleases you now. You're on the go. Doesn't mean you can't even stand up on the road. It aggravates you. And people will aggravate you. Now, this is 4 years after meditation, where you're coming to accept this unity of self. Go another 4 more years.
Don't be a man.
4 more years from now.
That's when you and your friends pack company.
Is that on top of the mountain or is that?
That's the whole ocean in it.
The whole ocean.
You are it. You're not looking for ecstasy, you're ecstasy itself. You're not looking for music, you're the music itself. You're not looking for mind optics, you're the optic itself. This is the realization that comes in the end. This is what they call nirvikalpa samadhi.
We just want to know the goal.
Suspended animation in a mobile state. Suspended animation in a non-mobile state would be like this. Suspended animation in a mobile state is this. And go drive your car still riding high all the time. That's suspended animation in the mobile state or moving state. It's called nirvikalpa samadhi or God-centeredness in a moving state, active state. Whereas God-centeredness in the non-acting state or non-moving state is sitting down and holding a posture like a stone Buddha. Well, we got enough stone Buddhas. What we need now is active living Jesuses. Somebody can get out there, push. That means act it out, live it out in the vibration of now. So you find that devotion becomes seva. It's all dharma, it is all karma. It is all adharma, it is no more karma. The adharma means it's no more duty, it's no more action, because it ends by service. So you find out after you learn to realize yourself, then God is present. Very important word, present. The I am present. The presence of life. Thy kingdom come. You're living it, you are it, and you don't have to count out. But the best way to do it is to count out. Because who else would you bow down but to yourself? If God is all around, so the yogi tells him, where do you think God is? He's all around, so bow down to the rock. Bow down to yourself, bow down to the God in you. Accept this reality now. It's not a sacrilegious reality, idea, or is it a degrading idea to bow down and say, man, I love you. You're nothing better than you. It seems sexy, but then it's the highest form of love that we can ever communicate, and neither is it narcissistic. It's not a self-love in a degrading way. It's love of self as self is, which is guru is. Why do people want to run up and kiss the guru's feet? And the guru said, come on. Kiss your own feet. But this is what the guru is doing. And the guru, when he sees his guru, he runs up and he wants to do the same thing too. It's because love is that particular phenomenon that wants to give and get only by giving. It's strange. You never get more of it until you give of it.
What would you say is the biggest difference between the mental processes of the people who know that intellectually and the people who feel the state of dharma? Or mobility?
The only demonstration of that is this. There are no words for it, but if you felt something pass through the room that made you wonder what it is, then you know.
And if you know what it is, then you know.
That's what they say, you and the Father are one. Jesus merely used that as a reference point for it. It's a state of being that you've eventually immersed into. In other words, at that point of observation, you are not in the room. Everything is gone from the room, including myself.
What room?
We're drawn into the vortex of love. But it's you have to come to it. It comes to you naturally after a while.
When you say everyone's gone from the room, is that why you sometimes zero was?
But how would you know the difference with the person in that state? What is the outstanding condition that sticks out in that state?
You just become consumed in the whole.
It has to do with the, that's what they call it, vision, holy vision. The visionary action, the optics have to do with it.
I just wanted to go back to that little graph up there. Lately, quite a few people have commented that time is speeding up.
That even children notice how fast time is going. Does that explain the phenomena that you feel because the heart and the mind and the respiratory rate are working at an adverse rate, and so you feel like time is ticking up? Yes. When you are not interested in
God-realization, or what you call time-lapse sequential
existence, when you're not interested in that, see, God-realization is time-lapse sequential existence. People know that, you know. Time lapse means there are no time. Sequential existence, everything is now, and therefore you exist as now. And that is God realization in its scientific context. So what has happened is that there is no time in God realization. And when we break out from our time nature, wanting everything to act on time, we get very disoriented. And we feel an urgency speeding up in us. Therefore, people who become spiritual are always on an urgency level. They get more and more involved with the timelessness of it. So anything that is aggravating would be time itself. They always never seem to have enough time to do the thing in time. Mm. So they end up doing what is called guru time.
How
would
you
do that? Right. So, when a person invited Muktananda and they say, well, you'll be here for satsang, he says, yeah, I'll be here tomorrow night, yeah, I'll be here tomorrow night. And he shows up at 10 o'clock for it. And they're all waiting for him to show up. So they're all thieves. He's supposed to show up at 8 o'clock, he shows up at 10 o'clock. In the guru's mind, There is no numerical value in time. It is all in flow, according to receptivity when he comes there. That's a realized person. And he's never late, you're late, because he's been waiting for you thousands of lives for you to realize that you were out of phase with yourself.
Yeah.
And you're busy thinking you got to satisfy society to be on time like a punch card, then society doesn't give a hoot who you are when you die. And the only person that gives anything about you is your own self, how you stay healthy while you're alive, and how you take care of this mechanism and conserve this energy to enjoy it the best way you can by being serenely happy. And health is happiness, half of the job done. Sickness is unhappiness, half of the job done. So who wants the other half, which is death, too soon? So you extend the health nature as much as you can without trying to run society or impose upon society, and just flow with this. So the guru consciousness is one that's here in a hurry, because there's nothing, he ain't going no place. And as soon as you recognize that he ain't going no place, the quicker you're going to get there with him. And the sooner you're going to find you can always be on time, because you're going to end up synchronizing with him. And you're never going to be late in your mind. So after they learned that lesson from him a few times, he was always on time, and they were on time. Now you take Master Charan Singh. They say you can measure the time in the Darrow when Master comes out of his house to walk across to give that flag. He's always on time. That's what everybody says. Well, you ask the people who is on time, Master or the people are on time?
Master.
The time is on time around the Master when he's in time. Yeah.
And you just follow it through.
And you flow with it. But you are not aware of the fact that the time is measuring itself proportionately to the Master's motion. Alright. We are not aware of the fact that time is measuring itself proportionately to the bodily motion of a Master. And when we synchronize that bodily motion of his, we are always in time. Even the environment, the light in the environment will appear to be like that. Good example. How many times I come to Boston and the rain falls before I come? Huh? A lot of people have experiences like that. That you're in phase. It says, the more you realize the trueness of yourself, the more you're in phase with the environment. And you're never out of phase with it. Life will even seem to extend itself a little longer than normal for that person that is in phase. And all different other phenomena seem to extend themselves to adjust. Now that's exactly what happened.
You said like the cow story of the man who came to because there was a drought. And he didn't do anything,
he
just sat in the house, and 3 days later the drought was broken. And when they asked him why, he said because
it only took me 3 days,
because when I left my home, I was out of the cow, and now it took me 3 days to reestablish it,
mm-hmm.
And so it smelled.
Yeah.
Is that the idea of it?
That's the whole idea of it. Our universe is our time lapse, if we accept it as such. But the reason why we don't accept it as such is because we've been preconditioned by certain conditions around us, and therefore we're always expecting it not to work. I'll give you an example. I have a patient, not so long ago, she came in and told me about a problem. But I said, you know, you're perfect. Why don't you accept it? She said, what do you mean? I said, well, God made man in his own image, you know. And then, if he made in his own image and likeness, he's pretty imperfect. Now, she didn't like those things, so she started thinking, I said, well, he's perfect, then she's perfect. That's automatically what he is. Oh, well, I guess we're going to go on. Yeah. Because I pointed out where her perfection came from. She got off the chair. I'm well. We're about to the office. So our friend called me on the phone. He says, I don't know what you did to her, but she's well, you're going to lose a bishop. I said, no, I lost no bishop. In fact, I won a friend.
You came to the universe in your galaxy.
All right.
I didn't understand the part where she said he went out of his down back in. In other words, once you establish this rapport with yourself, you disturb it only by thinking. Is that not true?
Yes. We have to stay in what is called conscious spontaneity and live as if you were always walking on water or walking through water.
Oh,
slow.
So
what do you think? Good. Now you understand what Tao is.
In other words, that's where you accomplish the most by accomplishing nothing.
You try to pick up water, one of those, without your hands.
Yes.
And you don't, no amount of water wetting you is going to make you more wet. Right?
No amount of more action is going to make you get the right faster.
Good. Now you understand. So walk as if you're walking through water. That's how they develop Tai Chi. In other words,
is that how you walk in the sound footsteps,
right? What do you think? I need to call it Tai Chi. There's some kind of Tai Chi walk. It's scared to walk. But you have, actually, your body glides. You get a flow of the energy. It's like, you know that you imagine or picture for one moment, everything around here is water. And that you're walking through. And you're not in a hurry. And it's flowing. And you're flowing with it. Maybe happiness. Enjoy yourself. It's better than you think. Enjoy yourself.
Kirtan therapy.
What?
Kirtan. How it works, how it affects us, how it modifies the different pressures in the body, and how we can use it